Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Wow, what a week. What a week. You guys, all throughout the week, I've been getting messages, DMs, texts, everything. So on the show last week, last Thursday's episode, I mentioned how white women change a little bit when they hear Forgot About Dre. And I heard from so many of you who shared your stories. And I loved it. Some people reached out and said they have other songs that make them, you know, go crazy. A woman reached out to me and she said that Alana Miles song, Black Velvet, she said she completely morphs into a new human being when she hears that song. She said she just becomes the most sexual human being of all time. And she says, I'm a mother of three. She said, but I hear Black Velvet. And she said, I start withering around on the floor. And I asked if I could say her name. And she said, no, don't tell my name. But she said, I'm a mother of three young children. And she said, I turn into a different human being when I hear Black Velvet. And I get it. I do too. They did a lip sync battle on RuPaul's Drag Race to Black Velvet a long time ago. And it's one of the best lip syncs they've ever done in RuPaul's Drag Race history. It's so, so good. But I change when I hear that song too. And speaking of mothers of three, I recently rewatched Erin Brockovich. And first of all, it holds up. It's so good. But rewatching it again, I saw it from a new perspective. And I used to see it from like this view of, wow, this woman's so badass. Look at what she did, taking down PG&E and all the law stuff. But now rewatching it, I see that she was also a single mother at the time with no child support, no help from a father. And it moved me in a different way. So I would encourage everyone to rewatch it. And I'm just so endlessly impressed by mothers. And I know we have a lot of mothers that listen to the show. And when I watched it, I was just like, oh my God. Shout out to all the mothers out there who are doing it, because it's the hardest job in the world. And you know, those of you that work, or even if you don't work, I know how hard it can be. I have two older brothers and they're both married with kids, and the moms, the wives, my two sister-in-laws, the things that they do, it's just, it's amazing. And shout out to all the moms out there. And that's neither here nor there, but I had to shout it out. I also have to mention that my West Elm headboard, I told you on last Thursday's show that it was going to be delivered, and it was never delivered. Whoops, not here. I was told that it would be coming. They called me. They were supposed to have it to me the next day after. So I was supposed to have it last Friday. And they called me and they were like, whoops, we don't have it. And they said maybe September, maybe end of August. Like, no one really knows. It's at this point, everyone's just guessing. And I've lost it all. I've lost the will to even get this headboard at this point. But I've also lost the will to get my money back. Either way, I just sort of don't even care anymore. I'm past the point of caring. I have gotten so worked up about this headboard. I spent lots of money. In my money, it was a lot of money. It was a lot of money for me. And I don't think that I'm ever getting it. I don't. And I don't have the patience to call them back. I don't. I can't sit on another line. I can't be put on hold. So that's never happening. So I have a few pop culture news stories I want to get to before we recap Roni. We're going to recap Roni, and I'm super excited about that. It was our finale episode. Oh, so good.
You say you support women. How is it you talk? Well.
But there's a few pop culture things I want to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about is Jennifer Love Hewitt. I don't know if you guys saw this. It was in the news. We're hitting all the big stories this week. Jennifer Love Hewitt takes selfies in her refrigerator. So I saw this piece, I saw this BuzzFeed piece where Jennifer Love Hewitt, you know, of course I follow her on Instagram, and on Instagram she likes to take lots of selfies in her refrigerator. So she'll go into her, she'll open the refrigerator door and she'll put the phone in her refrigerator and she'll take her selfies that way. And so when she does Instagram videos or sometimes when she does live videos or things like that, she'll do it from the inside of her refrigerator. And I just found this so compelling. I found this hard-hitting piece of journalism so compelling. And you know what? It's a great idea because I'm always looking for my key light. Mariah Carey taught me to always look for that key light. And I never thought to go in my refrigerator. I never thought that. And truly, it's a next level idea. So I just want to shout out to Jennifer Love Hewitt, friend of the show. She's not really, but I'm dying to do a Heartbreakers pop dive. So we've been doing these pop dives on, we've been doing a lot of movies. We have some other musician stuff coming up and some TV shows, but I'm dying to get to Heartbreakers. So I hope to someday we're going to, because I love that movie. Oh, I also want to shout out Crazy Rich Asians. So I saw this movie. It comes out. It just came out. It came out yesterday, Wednesday. And it's so, so good. So if you've been listening to the Pop Dives and you like all the rom-coms, like we've been doing some rom-coms, and I am obsessed with rom-coms. I mean, You've Got Mail is my all-time favorite movie. I love it, love it, love it so much. But I also love all of those movies. I love Sleepless in Seattle. I love When Harry Met Sally. I love My Best Friend's Wedding. I love a rom-com. And this movie, Crazy Rich Asians, is the best rom-com I've seen in maybe 10 years, maybe more than that. It's as good as, if not better than, the first Bridget Jones. Like, it's so, so good. It's got everything we want. It's got a makeover montage. It's got fantastic music. There's a scene with a cover of Can't Help Falling in Love, you know, the Elvis Presley song. There's a cover of it in the movie, and it's the most swoon-worthy scene. It makes you want to be in love, and it makes you happy if you are in love, and there's the most swoon-worthy guy. Henry Golding is his name. He's like the male lead, and he's so swoony. Swoony, is that a word? Swoony like Clooney? He is. You know when George Clooney was swooniest? I'm making up that word, but he was swooniest in One Fine Day, another rom-com that I love, which was just about like them going about their day in the rain. I mean, that's really all it was about, were him and Michelle Pfeiffer. Henry Golding has that Clooney swooniness to him. I mean, he's so charming. And then Constance Wu plays the female lead, and she is so great. So what else? I also just want to do a little quick shout out to Aretha Franklin. I'm praying for her and her family and friends. And I love Aretha so much. She's the queen of soul. She's given us so many great hits. She's given us Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And Chain of Fools. One of my favorites is a song called Until You Say You Love Me, which was off her 80s album, Who's Zoomin' Who? Which, I mean, come on, what an iconic album title. That album also has her duet with Annie Lennox, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves, which, of course, was played in the First Wives Club, and that duet is so fantastic. But I love a song called Until You Say You Love Me, which is sort of like a faster ballad. But Aretha's given us so much, and I will never forget 1998, Divas Live 1998 on VH1. That was the moment, like, honestly, it took me years after Divas Live 1998 to finally have sex with a man, but I knew at 13 years old in 1998 that I was a big gay when I saw Divas Live 1998 and that lineup. I was so enamored with this concert special. I remember getting so excited to watch with my mom. And it was Mariah, it was Shania Twain, it was Celine Dion, it was Gloria Estefan, it was, of course, Queen Aretha Franklin, and then featuring Carole King. And there's a moment, there's a specific moment in this special that it was the moment I became gay. It was like the moment I knew that I was a big gay. And it was in the climax of this concert special, they were doing Natural Woman. It was all of our divas on stage. And Mariah has famously said, when you're doing an Aretha Franklin song, like, you do not out-sing Aretha. It's like you just sort of sit back and you do your job. So all the other girls were kind of doing their little parts and they were being very respectful of Aretha and they were not trying to outshine her. But then there's a moment, and I live for Celine Dion, but there's a moment when Celine Dion tries to do a run and you could see in Aretha's face, like Aretha's like, what are you doing, girl? And then Celine just keeps on going and Celine sounds fantastic, but you don't do that to Aretha, the queen of soul. And so there's this moment where Aretha looks at her and they sort of have like a sing-off with each other at the climax of this concert special when they're singing Natural Woman. And meanwhile, Gloria, Shania, Carol, and Mariah, they're all watching on. And you could tell Mariah's thinking like, girl, Celine, what are you doing? Celine, what the fuck are you doing? Like, stand down. Stand down. But we were watching, and I remember watching at home and thinking, wow, I'm gay. Like, I was too into that moment. You know what I mean? That moment was bringing me too much joy for me to be straight.
There might as well have been a dick in my mouth.
I was like, nope, you're a big gay. God was touching me at that moment and being like, hey, newsflash. Surprise, you're a big gay. I love that so much. And I also remember this very specific moment from that concert special, which is totally neither here nor there. But Jennifer Aniston, she was coming out to introduce one of the girls. And do you remember the time in Friends, like, they were doing that sort of pokey nipple thing? So Jennifer Aniston was wearing, like, a sweater, but she wasn't wearing a bra. And they used to do that on Friends a lot, where it's like they just weren't wearing bras. And I remember at 13 years old being like, Jen, put on a bra. What do you do? Put on a bra, Jen. It was like, I wasn't attracted to it. I was, like, screaming through the TV to, like, put on a bra. That was, like, a style back then, so I get it. And I love Jen Ann. I do love my Jennifer Aniston. Team Jen all the way. I had a Team Jen t-shirt, so I promise I'm Team Aniston. But I do remember that moment. It's like, of course I was a big gay. And they never came close to Divas Live 1998. They tried it again in 1999, and that's the closest they ever got to 98. The 1999 Divas Live lineup was close. I want to give it that. It was Cher. It was Tina Turner. It was Elton John. It was Whitney. Mary J. Blige. I mean, that lineup in 1999 was fantastic, iconic, amazing. But 98, it was the first time we were seeing this. That lineup, I mean, maybe they could have added Whitney and Cher and it would have been even better, but then all of our heads would have exploded. Like, we wouldn't have survived that. That would have been the rapture. If Whitney and Cher were in Divas Live 1998, that would have been the rapture. We would have all exploded. The end of the world would have happened. So, you know, I'm glad they waited for 1999, but they were never able to recreate that magic. And actually, if you go to everythingiconic.com, there's like a merch store. So there's a little link at the top to say shop, and you can go and we have these t-shirts that I had Matt designed. So you can buy them, and it says Shania, Celine, Mariah, Aretha, Gloria, featuring Carol. And they're so cute. just so you guys know, like, I'm not making the items. It comes from Society 6. You just upload your designs. But I bought everything. I have, like, a tank top that says that. I have a mug. I have all of it. So anyway, you could go there if anyone else is interested. But Divas Live 1998 changed me. It made me into the big gay that I am today. And I'm so grateful for Aretha, because she was the star of that show. And Aretha's the star of every show. She's given us so many gifts, so many moments that we all use on the internet. But we also can't forget about her contribution to music. I'm praying for Aretha. And I just love her so much. She's given us everything, you guys. And go download Who's Zooming Who. It's a good one. Okay, I know you guys want to hear about Housewives, and we're going to break down Roni in detail. We're going to talk a little Potomac, a tiny little Orange County. Before we get to all that Housewives stuff, there's a show on A&E that I cannot rave about enough. It's called Born This Way. It's on A&E Wednesday nights. The new season just started this week. The show is so compelling. It's about a group of young adults in their 20s and 30s living with Down syndrome. Oh, it's just so, so good. I love it so, so much. And I got a chance to talk to Rachel, one of the main cast members, and her mom, Lori, over the phone. So I'm going to play just like a little portion of our interview here on the episode. If you want to hear the full unedited 8-minute conversation, head on over to everythingiconic.com, or we'll post a link in the Everything Iconic Facebook group. It's so, so good. It's not like that time I told you to watch Southern Charm Savannah. Like, this show is legit one of my favorites on TV. Please enjoy a little portion of my phone interview with Rachel and her mom Lori from A&E's Born This Way, Wednesday nights on A&E. Please watch it. Hi, is this Lori?
This is.
Hi, this is Danny. How are you?
Hi, Danny. How are you?
I'm great. And Rachel's there too, right? Hi, Rachel.
Danny. I'm
right here. Hi, it's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Same here.
I love the show so, so much.
Thank you.
How do you like making the show, Rachel? Have you enjoyed making it?
I love making the show. I love it a lot.
Yeah. Were you nervous to do it?
I was nervous at first, but now I'm used to it.
Yeah, and how about you, Lori? Were you nervous about signing on?
Oh, yes. I was very, very nervous. I was nervous about opening up my whole family to the world. It was a big decision. We wanted to make awareness of Down syndrome, and that really overcame any other feelings we had.
And what's the response been like as it's been airing?
It's been a great response. We've just gotten so many people who feel inspired, You find so many people that it's given them hope. I'd say especially a lot of young moms. Mm-hmm. When I've gone to conventions, there's been young moms who are actually pregnant and know they're going to have a child with Down syndrome, and how they have told me that they have actually kept their baby after watching our show. So having things like that done, Danny, makes it all worth it.
Of course. Rachel, what kind of TV shows do you watch besides your show?
What I watch, Dancing with Stars.
Yes.
America's Got Talent and American Idol.
Oh, American Idol.
Yes.
All music related, as you noticed.
Sure.
And
Rachel,
dancing.
Do you like the judges on American Idol? Do you like Luke and Katie?
Katy Perry's my favorite.
Yeah.
And my favorite judge on America's Got Talent is Mel B.
Oh, yeah. Mel B's great. What's your favorite Katy Perry song?
Ooh, Firework.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. What other kind of music do you listen to, Rach?
Well, I listen to Adam Lambert. He's my favorite.
Right. I remember that from the show.
Yes.
What's your favorite Adam Lambert song?
Ooh, my favorite Adam Lambert song is Ghost Town.
Oh, Ghost Town is so good. You know, I also really love that song, Underneath. Do you know that one?
Yes,
I do.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yes.
It is.
Beautiful. We talk a lot about Mariah Carey on the show. Do you have a favorite song of hers?
Fantasy.
Oh, such a good one.
It is.
Now, Lori, I'm kind of curious, what do you hope people take away from the show?
I want people to just be aware of Down syndrome. I want people to be aware of anybody with a disability, that they should be included just like anybody else, because it proves that when they are included, it helps them lead productive lives just like anybody else does.
And Rachel, when you go and give speeches, what are the kinds of things that you tell people?
I inspire them. And what I also tell them is
you always say
about following your dreams.
That's right. That's something you always say.
Like when you follow your hopes and dreams.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to tell people about the show to maybe get them interested to watch it?
I'd like to tell people that you don't even have to have a disability to enjoy this show.
Mm-hmm.
You can enjoy this show. I've had, believe it or not, people who have come over to me and say, who are teenagers, who say they watch the show and they relate to the show because they're bullied or because they're teased all the time. And they just really relate to somebody being different. Yeah. And that's what I hope people realize. I've had so many people that just flip to the channel and see it. And like I said, they didn't even have disabilities, but they were just so inspired by it and learned so much about Down syndrome.
Yeah, I think it's got everything we love from all sorts of other reality shows, but then your show also has this enormous heart in it, and I just think it's so beautiful to watch.
And it's really unstructured. That's the big thing, too.
I appreciate you both taking the time. This was such a thrill for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, you guys, we have so much housewife stuff to get to. I'm here with friend of the show and friend of mine, Adam Salandra.
Hi, everyone.
And also friend of the show and producer of the show and friend of mine, Whitney.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Whitney.
She just found out.
It was Dallas premiere night.
Oh,
it was a Roni finale night. We have lots to get through. We're going to hop into Roni. Before we do, we have to talk. There's a few housewife news stories that we have to get to. First of all, we lost Dennis. It was sad. Like, I feel bad for Bethany.
No,
I truly do.
I got nervous for Bethany instantly because at times she seems like she's hanging on by a thread. And obviously, I mean, this is tragic for anyone anytime, but like,
And TMZ actually printed the funeral photos, and it showed Bethany crying, and it was just so heartbreaking. And I feel like Bethany's been through so much. Like, I don't, like you said, she's sometimes seems like she's hanging on by a thread.
Sure.
And I don't know that it's just a lot for one person to go through. And I feel horror. And we've been tough on Bethany on this show.
Yeah.
Particularly Whitney.
Don't care.
my heart goes out to her so bad.
No,
I have a question, and I'm actually not trying to be cynical, but do you think she had someone filming this for little clips for the show later? Because that's what she does, even in times
cameras?
Of tragedy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, just on an iPhone, not like not the Bravo cameras.
Her iPhone style.
That's a terrible thing to ask, and I think you're 100% right.
Thank you.
I mean, it is a fair question at this point.
We will see it next season.
This is terrible. I mean, opioid opioid addiction is like horrible and it's everywhere. And it's just like a reminder. But also he has like kids. And, I know, you know, kids in that. It's just so sad.
Oh, it's definitely it really like hit me in a harder way than I don't know. It just, I read the news story and I was like, oh man, it like, I felt sad. Yeah. Genuinely sad.
Definitely. Yeah.
So we'll lighten it up a little bit. There's also news. There's reports today that Carol wants to join The View, which it's obviously a rumor. Okay. You guys, everyone's been sending me that because they know I'm a View expert.
I was going to say, this is not lightening up for you. This is like heavy stuff for you to deal with.
I'm like, I know that this will not happen. And of course it was reported by like Daily Mail and Radar Online and stuff. But I watch The View every single day, and I do love Carol, and I think she's smart enough for the show, but she's not a fast enough talker.
That's
like, that panel has to be very quick, and Carol's very careful with her words. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't even, if they even tested her, I don't think it would work out.
Yeah, I don't think she'd be a very good personality match.
Yeah. And I would love to see her on something like that, like doing something like that. But the fact is, she wouldn't get a word in edgewise because Joy would be waiting for her to talk, and Joy would not be having it. She'd be like, spit it out.
What if there was a Housewives version of The View where just Housewives from each franchise debated the topics of the day?
And I'm
that
wet.
Isn't
I mean, I'm that wet. Is something.
That is a show we need. Even though I always say we don't need another ladies' roundtable talk show. We've got The Real. We've got
this
that
is
would be
different.
So
needs
good. Bravo, if you're listening.
You heard it here, Bravo.
Maybe we could pitch that to Bravo.
Oh, my
Bravo.
God.
Some of the Bravo people listen. Also, we saw the reunion preview. Whitney, Adam, you didn't watch the reunion preview.
I didn't see it, no.
What did you think, Whitney?
Oh, man.
Yeah. It looks intense.
It looked intense. I have questions. Why does Ramona have a bruise? How does she get...
Oh, she's on the phone with Mario, too.
She's on the phone with Mario. Then, like, she asked to switch couches, and she has that whole power to just switch all the couches around.
Well, she does.
And she was also lowest spot, wasn't she? I mean,
Which was, of course, famously because Lou didn't show up at the reunion. Yeah. So they had to make the couches equal.
Yeah.
So Ramona, even though she was feuding with Bethany throughout the season, they had to put someone on that other couch. Mm-hmm. I think it should have been Tinsley, but maybe they know something we don't.
But who would have been on the bottom? Certainly Luann would not have.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, when it's an all-star probably cast, Tinsley. What can you do?
I'm endlessly fascinated by those couch dynamics.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Because we know what it means, and you know they know what it means.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Carol even asked to have Tinsley on her couch, because, like, you know, it's a little Bethany v. Carol.
Sure.
So it's like, I need my girls next to me.
You know, I didn't like in the preview when Carol said, like, I got your backs. Like, the way she said it just kind of...
Oh, that was weird when they were taking that photo.
Yeah.
It did feel like, and we've heard this in the Daily Mail, you know, source of record, paper record, but that, like, it seems like a lot of the cast members back Carol in a way of, like, you know, she's easier maybe to work with and whatever. Of maybe course. She's not as good of TV, but, like, you know, that they maybe have more of a real friendship with her. So I did find that interesting that they were all, like, taking a photo with her and Bethany was not involved. And, you know, it was a little sad to see. And also now Carol's not going to be back, so.
I know. I'm excited for this reunion, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
course.
Before the reunion, we got to get to this episode.
Yes.
It was all about Countess and Friends. Hashtag Countess and Friends.
I mean, thank God you were on the front lines in the LA show.
Oh my gosh.
I did go. And we've been building up to this all season. We opened the show with Lou at her sound check for Hashtag Countess and Friends. And of course, last week, her musical director, I think it was her musical director, said, I'm going to kill myself.
And that was just a casual off the cuff remark after watching the rehearsal. Didn't even know he was being filmed at that point.
Just look, I'm going to say it. So that I'm kill myself. Imagine your director saying that. It's just so funny.
Oh my God.
And, you know, it's true. I just want to say, like, I am a little bit offended by Lou's lackadaisical attitude about this. Like, I know that she's on camera constantly saying, like, let's rehearse and stuff, but then everything she's doing is contradicting that.
Sure.
It's like her rehearsal time, her ability to learn lines, like, at that rehearsal was the day of the show, and she's like, he was like, oh, you better learn your lines.
Yeah.
And then she went and got a mammogram.
Look, I just want to...
Important, but...
Yeah, I want to be the woman here. When you have a gyno appointment, you got to keep that shit. Yeah. You got to book that a year in advance. So she probably had that mammogram booked a long time ago. That's just my guess. I have not had a mammogram. But, you know, she's got to get it done.
I just feel like
she's a multitasker.
She should have, at the very least, learned her lines by then.
Yes.
Like, we've been in theater shows before. Adam, we have.
And I didn't have a podium in front of me with my lines, but I wish I did. I wish I did.
She literally had to have the lines in front of her.
Yeah.
But just
and with the lines being her own life story.
Yes, yeah.
just for the amount of money that I paid for that show. I just feel like I would have liked the performer to not know their lines.
But you know what? You got to go. John didn't. So if you think of it that way.
Oh, man, I know.
You're lucky.
It was interesting to watch it on the show because we did see it. I went with Danny. And it was identical, like, on every level. And I was like, oh, so...
Except for the friends.
Right. The friends were different. Sorry. But, like, the whole setup and what the friends were kind of adding to the show was exactly the same. So I was shocked that... Then by the time it got to L.A., they didn't plus it at all. They didn't change it at all.
They were like, nope, that was perfect.
It wasn't being workshopped. Yeah, it wasn't workshopped.
No. It was not refined. And I was like, even less effort put in. Like,
yeah, you know, in like a Broadway show, you know, premieres in London and they practice there for a while. Yeah. It's like, that was not happening with
and
Blue.
And yet, I know you blacked out, but I assume it was one of the best nights of your life. So like, let's be honest. Yeah, she knows she didn't need to practice.
Yeah, totally. Like, again, I loved the show. I just thought, watching all the stuff on the season, I'm like, could you have maybe put a little more effort in? Yeah. Even like he was telling her, you better learn the friends' names. Like the director was telling her, you better go home and learn all their names. And it was like, wait, what?
It actually did genuinely surprise me when she said the names properly for some reason. I did think that.
I know. I know. And then also they were worried about Sonia showing her titties the whole time. Like, and that was like...
And indeed, her dress came off, so.
I know. Lou even said, like, I told her to keep her titties away from my mom.
And my God. And when did titties enter the Housewives lexicon? Like, wow.
Don't know, but hope it never leaves.
Very vulgar this entire season.
Which I love. I love a vulgar lady.
I do, too.
But I do think Sonia is a bit of a stunt queen this season. Like, she's like, I'm in a great place, but I'm going to go up there and take my dress off.
Yeah.
Like, it was clearly very intentional. But also, maybe she was like, this way we'll get some Daily Mail likes. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Well, she's a businesswoman, first and foremost.
She is. She knows.
We should have kept a tally of how many conversations there were amongst cast members, including Lou and Sonia, about Sonia not showing her vagina on stage. There was a million conversations. Yes,
I know. Oh,
so man. Then we cut to Rona and Sonia getting their pedicure, again talking about... you know, Sonia getting naked on stage. And Sonia said, I know I can wing this. I do sing-song skits off the top of my head.
That was so good. Was like, and didn't she also say, like, I've been performing since I was a child?
She can wing it, yeah. She said, they expect to see my TNA. It's synonymous with Sonia.
Hey, at least she knows herself.
And Ramona's just sitting there getting her pedicure, and she's like, you know what? You should be you.
I mean, honestly, I know she did that, I don't know, off Broadway sex tips with Sonia or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Maybe she should do some sort of burlesque. Maybe
Sonia should.
Yeah, maybe, you know, Lou did the cabaret.
I thought she did for some reason.
Well, she did it on one episode like forever ago, and it was really weird. And it was at like some sort of fundraiser or something, or yeah. I don't know. It was
I'm sure this inspired her. How about the end? Not to jump ahead, but it's her talking to some guy at the party about how she did. And she was like, when I like motorboated Bridget Everett, like that was acting. I was acting.
She's like, I was in the moment.
She couldn't believe what a great job she did of pretending she couldn't breathe in breasts.
Oh my God.
But she needs some people behind her. Let's get a Sonia burlesque.
I know.
I'm sure she was inspired by the attention Lou's been getting.
I know.
I'm sure she was jealous about all that.
Oh, definitely.
Totally.
So then we cut to Bethany getting ready. We're seeing all these women get ready, and Bethany's being very nice about Lou and the show.
She certainly was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if again, all of it feels a lot of it feels false to me. Like her stuff with Lou and Sonia. Like maybe they are getting along, and maybe that's just me being cynical. I feel like it's all. Just we've seen her be so mean to Lou and so mean to Sonia in the past. It's not like they've had little fights, right?
Yeah.
She's had brawls with Lou where she's said the meanest things in the world. So it's like just it rings false to me to see it because I just can't imagine a friendship where I would go that low with someone and then be able to be like, oh, I'm so excited for their cabaret show. It looks great.
I disagree. I think part of Bethany's, you know, frustration with Luann that always escalates to these weird matches, screaming matches, is because she thinks she's being insincere. She thinks she's putting on a false persona when the cameras are on, but she's obviously seen Lou, you know, not when they're filming, be a different person. So I think, you know, Bethany is who she is, obviously, like, on and off screen. It seems pretty clear. So I think she's always frustrated with Luann, and it seems like we've seen a little bit more of real Luann. So I could see her getting behind Luann during this transition, and also Bethany is someone that clearly likes a underdog. wrong.
She's also talking about Carol. She's reintroducing this Carol, which we've talked about ad nauseum. I feel like this whole season's been like Bethany versus Carol. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Bethany says as she's getting her makeup done that Carol's gotten so superficial. And it just was a funny juxtaposition because it's like you're getting her makeup done, right. Which I know they all did. They all did.
Well, so, sure. But yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah. And then when you see Tinsley and Dorinda, Dorinda goes over to Tinsley's, you know, hotel. Dorinda teaches so Tinsley weird. How to open the champagne, which I thought was very cute. It was like a cute little scene.
Oh,
it
yeah, was. That was really fun. Thing.
Dorinda pretending it's only because she was a waitress, which that helps, but so does knocking one back every night.
You guys, I'm a little concerned about Dorinda.
Okay.
Selfishly, I'm concerned they're going to force her into rehab, and then there goes Dorinda.
That's a good point.
Like, I want her safety first, but I want my entertainment. It's very close to that level, sure. Like neck and neck.
That is the struggle we all have with yes, these women. I know.
We want them a little drunk, but.
But hey, Lou has not been a disappointment sober this season.
That's true.
Assuming she has been. So that's right. Fine.
Yeah. That's true. And Tinsley's wearing pants for the first time, I think, ever. Have we ever seen Tinsley wear pants?
No.
She was always wearing a dress.
You're right.
And I also liked how she was like, oh, I felt like pants are more cabaret appropriate. I don't know where that comes from, but okay. Well, I did love the other women's sparkly dresses.
I feel like
them.
Tinsley thinks of cabaret in that Liza Minnelli scene from Sex and the City 2.
Right?
That's Tinsley's only reference of like what a cabaret is. She's like, I saw Sex and the City 2 at that gay wedding when Liza
she
Minnelli
was going
sings
for Liza.
Single ladies. Yeah, she was wearing pants.
Oh my gosh, so maybe, yeah, she was being Carrie because Carrie was wearing a tuxedo then.
Yeah, well, and Liza was wearing pants in that scene in
no,
her
she was
performance.
Wearing, no, she was wearing wasn't, a leotard.
No, but I think it was pants. No, Liza was wearing
it
pants.
It wasn't hose? Because I thought she was bare
she was wearing like a sparkly, glittery top and pants.
Pants.
I swear they're
oh my God, I
pants.
Hate that I don't even.
We'll look it up.
Okay.
When you
it's
guys
important.
Are talking about something else, I'll look it up.
When we have a tangent of
so
our
it's,
own.
It's revealed that John was not invited to the cabaret and Scott was. Scott was invited the day of. Dorinda tried to get John a ticket the day of and Lou basically said like, you should have bought a ticket. You should have bought a ticket.
You should have bought a ticket is real weird. I mean, you couldn't just say, come, we'll find a chair.
Yeah, I mean, Lou could have gotten a ticket. She's yeah. the star.
It is
show.
Her show, in fact.
Yeah, that was weird, but I love this kind of drama where sure. it's like, who didn't get the invite? Who? Right. What was the timing of the text messages? I love it.
Yeah. One thing I can't believe is that I was like, yeah, actually would have liked to see John there. I mean, yeah. John, yeah. There was a time when I was like, he cannot be on my screen another moment.
And now we all love John.
Now we love John.
We all love John. What happened? Like, where's John? I miss him.
Life is wild. Honestly.
So we cut to Luann, who's doing vocal exercises, and it was so funny because she's like, ooey, ooey, ooey.
Wait, for the season finale, can we get one more water out of it?
I can't. People get mad when I do water too much, but...
How dare they?
Water.
That was an excellent...
No, but it was, I swear it was like she was great. Just doing her vocal... She's, ooey, ooey, ooey. Sounded like fucking Cookie Monster.
Whoa. That was such a good Cookie Monster.
And I love Luann's voice. That's not a knock on it. It's just, it's a smoker's voice. That's what it is. It's a, right. It's because she smokes a lot. She
oh,
has a smoker's
voice.
I love
her voice. Yes.
I do
Let's
too.
Be clear.
I do too. It's a got a Kathleen Turner. Like
sure.
A, which mm-hmm. Kathleen Turner gave the best interview to Walter. Oh my God, it's so yes. good. But that's neither here nor there. I digress. But yeah.
In her testimonial, she had the smokiest of smoke voices.
Yeah,
I felt that too. Smokier than ever. I feel like it was
just
me.
It was like she was just smoking off screen. Like.
Right. I feel like you can really tell when she had just come off a cigarette.
Yeah, so
you can tell
funny.
She's yeah. had some tea versus when she just was outside smoking.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Thank
my
you
favorite
for giving
scene,
it to us.
One of my all-time favorite scenes in Housewives history is when she was smoking a cigarette with Jules Weinstein.
Oh, yes. A classic.
Whitney, yes. Can we put the clip in here?
It's awful what she just did to me. I feel so bad I can't even concentrate because my dad sounds like he's not even coherent.
It's so hurtful what she just said to me.
So then Bethany and Carol, they are on a break, and it seems like they've come to terms with this, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like they both sort of said, okay, we're just taking a break. It's good.
I didn't know how much I cared till I saw them talking together and I felt relief.
Yeah.
I mean, we know it doesn't last, so it's a very brief relief, but I was felt nice.
I had also predicted a few weeks ago on the podcast, I said they're going to make up on the final by the final episode, and then I also called the Giovanni stuff on the dress, so I just wanted
you
to say
did.
I got the
Damn, you are a crystal ball. So just bravo.
So we do get a flashback of Cartagena. We see them rehearsing in Cartagena, which I loved. That scene of them the rehearsing, of the beatboxing,
just,
one of my
just
favorites.
To say they're not working when on vacation they were rehearsing is just, that was rude.
We also see Victoria and Noel in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Noel looked cute. I think he's turning into a handsome man.
Yeah, he's on the glow up, as the kids say.
Pre-lawsuit, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, so then Tinsley, they get to the cabaret show, and Tinsley tells Dorinda about Scott being invited, and Dorinda starts to turn. This is like when Dorinda just, you start to see her get that look in her eye. She was glaring at Lou on that stage. Oh my God, I live
and
for it.
I just want to say the glare was highlighted by her very heavy blue eye makeup, and I loved it. I was like, I'm just seeing her
eyes. It was
eyes
right.
Like a
it was right.
Snake.
And then when already the slurring started to come out, and I thought, Dorin, how do you do it? Right. How do you get to that level before the night has even begun?
I know. It's that bottle of champagne. She
honestly, I just mad respect for her.
I want to say
for her problem.
At this point, I was on Team Dorinda. At this point,
sure.
Okay. So when I'm hearing about it, I'm like, you know what? John should have been invited. I'm on Team Dorinda.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as the time went on and Dorinda started getting messier and messier, then I was like, this is not the time for it. Like, to be yelling in the audience, like, Giovanni! I was like, Dorin, like, come on. Like, maybe just...
together.
Like, she should have saved all of that for the reunion, I think. Like, assuming they all assumed that Luann would have been at the reunion.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, maybe Dorinda knew that Luann wouldn't make it. So she had to...
Maybe gotta get it out
you know,
now.
Dorinda knew her best, so maybe she...
Yeah.
I don't think, catchphrases aside... Yeah. Dorinda's spending too much time being like, I'm going to say this for the cameras. I don't think she can control it.
You're right.
I think it was spilling out of her. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just, a lot of it seemed, I was like, Dorinda, save this. It seemed like the wrong time to be yelling Giovanni at the stage.
Yeah. I mean, a one yell maybe, but
sure.
just going and going. Wow.
Now, there was something happening at this cabaret performance that thrilled me to no end, and I've never... I think we need to talk about it. It was Ramona was never that joyous as she was as when she was watching Lou's
Truly.
Performance.
Like,
yeah. Ramona was having the best fucking time. The last time I saw her that happy was at Sonia's fashion show. Do you remember when?
Oh, yeah. She
like,
was so
Ramona,
excited.
Ramona supports
she
other women.
She supports
she
other
support
women.
Other women.
Like, she's never been happier on the show than when she was watching Lou sing Chic C'est La Vie.
She just seems like in such a great place. We've said this before. Right. She looks sensational. Again, she is still Benjamin buttoning backward. Like,
definitely.
I don't understand. And I love her haircut. And she's just like...
But do you see where being in a good place gets you? The last spot on the couch.
There you go.
We can't have it. We can't have it.
There you go. I think Ramona did a great job this season.
Oh,
but
same.
Maybe next season she needs to step it up and have a little more in the mix.
She was as entertaining as ever without any drama, but...
She can be entertaining literally just sitting
absolutely.
There. Like,
yeah.
I would watch a spinoff of Ramona just about her day.
Right. I would love that we... Maybe, I mean, this cast is flawless, so I wouldn't want to change. But if we could add someone that's literally like Ramona that is just fascinating to watch because she's a character, mm-hmm. and not necessarily because she's like super messy.
Sure, exactly. You know? We've got the mask covered.
Yeah, so, we got the mask covered.
They're all sitting there at the table and they're talking about this John Scott drama. They allege that it's because Scott can fly Luann places because he's apparently that rich.
He's the coupon king, man.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe it.
Also, Ramona, she was shouting across the table to try to fill Sonia in.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, Sonia, news alert. It's just so good. News alert across the table at the cabaret.
Oh, my God.
About its star.
So Dorinda's just watching. She's so pissed. She's shouting about the dresses. And then also, did you guys find it weird that we're seeing the performance and Luann's making a lot of rehab jokes, a lot of jail jokes?
Sure.
And knowing what we know now that she went back to rehab, it feels icky to me.
To me, I was like, man, Luann gets it. She literally knew every joke. It's like she knew what we would all be talking about. And we were, and she hit those. Whether did someone write those for her? Is she that aware, self-aware?
Yeah.
Couldn't be.
No, somebody wrote it. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. I gave her a little too much credit when I watched.
Could have used a few more passes in the
writer's
room.
Oh, like a few punch-ups, to be sure.
Yeah.
A few punch-ups in the writer's room.
Just the fact that she was acknowledging those things, I was like, all right. But, all right, it was someone else.
Yeah, I think in the context of the cabaret, like, those jokes work. But then when she makes these weird jokes, like, in her testimonials, it's like, are you handling this well? Like, are you making too much light of this?
It's a little icky.
But we did raise her up after the news as our latest queen. So you can't help. You can't.
You're so right, Adam.
You can't yell at her for taking it all in and making it a cash cow. Yeah.
In her testimonial, she was saying, I've got the biggest stars, and then they cut to Rachel Dratch. And I, I love Rachel.
Well, I was going to say, who we love?
No, I love. She's a queen. That's right.
Truly.
But it was just it's so shady of the Bravo editors. It was like they know what they were doing. They had cut right from Luann saying, "I've got the biggest stars in my show," and then it was like subtitle Rachel Dratch.
It would have been shadier though if they cut to like that Broadway star that I didn't know. Maybe right.
Sure, they were all Broadway.
They were like,
who were your guests? Cheyenne Jackson.
We had the People's Couch guys.
Okay.
Cheyenne Jackson and
Shauna Bean,
Amy Phillips.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Which was great. I loved it. I mean, I loved.
I mean, I heard
them,
they, dare I say, stole the show.
They did. I mean, so they
in terms of talent.
They put on the show. It's like the friends are the stars of the show.
Wait, I love when Sonia was like, "I know I'm just friends and Countess and friends." It's like, well, yeah, so are the actual celebrities that came. So that's not.
Oh my God, her talking about it at the after party was killing
my favorite.
Me.
Also, Bridget Everett was there. Did you guys see Patty Cakes?
Oh, I wanted to.
Oh my God, it's so good. If you've never seen it, please go watch it. Okay. Adam, go watch it.
I'm on my way. She's fantastic in it and very different.
Yeah, and she sings a little song about titties on Amy Schumer.
Oh, that I've seen and loved.
In this scene on the show in the cabaret, she put her titties in Sonia's face, and we talked
and
about
Sonia
it.
And Sonia acted like she couldn't breathe, but it was acting. Emmy.
Okay, so the show ends, and Dorinda's still so pissed, and Bethany's sort of stirring the pot. She tells Luann what happened. She says, you know, Dorinda's pissed about John not getting a ticket to the show. And then Bethany and Sonia are talking, and Bethany and Sonia say that she needs to go away like Luann. This was like, I think this was a big comment to say.
I saw Bethany have a moment being like, okay, we just said that. Like, she knew what it meant.
Yeah, she took a minute to say, oh, should I agree with this? Because Sonia said it.
Yeah.
Well, Sonia didn't think first, of course. But, but Bethany was like having
her.
A moment. But even Dorinda said it last week or two, you know, when she said, like, Lou, let's just go away for 20
minutes. Yeah, yeah.
You're right.
She doesn't mean it, though.
I don't know. There's a lot going on there. It's gotten dark for me with Dorinda.
Yeah.
It does feel weird that they talk about rehab kind of like a spa. Where they were like, Dorinda will like it. I think she would like it.
Wow, you guys, I have an apology to make.
Dorinda's calling and you.
Liza Minnelli was not wearing pants. Sex in the City too.
I love that you literally.
She was not, but she was
like, okay, have a moment.
Was she
but in my defense, she was wearing tall black boots.
Okay.
So look, I'm embarrassed. You know what? Take away my gay card. I'm embarrassed.
You know what? I'm sure Tinsley was still inspired by the scene. And that's
it. Yeah, she was more the Carrie. You know, she definitely sees herself as Carrie.
One of the things that happened after this show was that Bethany and Carol seemed good. They had a nice conversation. And I was
it.
So happy. I felt like, oh my God, finally, we're getting this relief.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
that's
we know what happened after.
Yes.
But it was nice to see them connect on
good.
A friendship
way. Exactly. Yep. Like just having real girl talk.
And then also one of the funniest scenes happened around this time was when Ramona jumped on in.
Oh my God.
And she gave us the wows heard around the world. The wow, Bethany. Wow, 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 Bethany.
And that's when you're like, she still got it. The old gal still got it.
Into the camera.
Yeah, it was old school Ramona. I loved it. And she's like tilting her head back and forth and blinking her eyes.
Wow,
like,
wow.
No, wait.
No, you don't support other women. Wow.
Was the season, because it's felt so long and it's such a blessing, where she was on the street corner with the very cinematic cinematography. Yes.
Saying that same line, Bethany doesn't support other women. And I could hear her say that anytime. Like, that would lift
the spin-off.
My spirits.
Bethany doesn't support women, starring Ramona.
Wow, Bethany. Wow.
For those who can't see him, Danny is doing a full body.
His hat flew off, literally.
Wow. Wow, Bethany.
And
wow.
And its eyes bugging out. It's actually spot on.
Also, T. Kyle, who makes all those great reality Housewives gifts, he was in the scene. He's just like sipping. Ramona storms up and you could just see him sipping.
Was he really? Oh my God.
Yeah, it's the best. But it's like, wow, Bethany. Wow. Oh, I loved it. That scene was perfect to me.
Oh, perfect.
And the other perfect thing in that scene was Bethany doing what she does best with Ramona, which is just like not engaging.
Oh my God.
It like makes it, it's like the perfect dynamic.
It
like,
is.
They really do have the perfect dynamic of fighting. Because like Bethany just doesn't give a shit. And Ramona's like wants to engage her. And it just makes Ramona more and more enraged.
Yeah.
Oh, I could cry. It's so beautiful.
And then Ramona goes up to Lou and she's just like, you did a great job. And she's like overly complimentary to Lou. Like, that was the best show. And like,
and Lou's like, thank you. She's like, no. I just can't get over it. And she really couldn't, but I felt like she was genuinely just loving it.
Genuinely had a great time. It was like theater opened up to Ramona that night for the very first time, and I loved it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I will say, I felt, when I walked away from the cabaret, a similar feeling, because like, you're just like, wow, look. I mean, she didn't do
drunk.
Much, but she...
Drunk
as hell. But she's like, oh, she looks so... Lou looked so gorgeous in the cabaret.
Yeah.
The outfits were fun. The music was fun. There was just like constant energy that it was like sort of, it got my blood going, pumping.
Right.
and Dorinda's more and more wasted. She keeps getting more drinks, and she went up to Lou, and it was rude, and it was not cute. And this is where I really turned, and it was like, I'm on Team Lou for this one.
Oh.
Because I just thought Dorinda was too aggressive at this point, I thought.
Well, she was trying to not be. She was going to leave.
But then she came back.
Bethany infiltrated, which, you know, we're grateful for. Yeah. Made sure it happened. The
scene
went down.
Bethany knows how to produce this show.
Yeah.
She knows how to keep it moving.
And do it in front of the camera without it even looking fake or forced, in my opinion. I'm sure some people think it's forced, but I think it's great.
Did you guys catch a little moment where Lou sat down next to her mom and she said she farted? Did you catch
it? Yes. I paused it and ran to tell my boyfriend. I was like, you know how we just saw her shit the bed?
It's almost getting,
now she's farting in the finale.
It's getting a parody at this point. It's like literally like she's trolling us at this
point. Literally.
Like, she's just farting on camera and commenting on it.
Like we wouldn't have known.
Like what is this show? Like,
oh, it's a blessing. It. How we wait a year.
So I want to quickly, we have to talk about Dallas and a little Potomac and Orange County. Ugh. But who do you guys think came out of the season the best? I don't want to say the worst. Like who do you think, the whole season's gone by. Who do you think came out of it looking the best?
Honestly, like looking the best, Ramona.
Right.
Yeah.
But probably the biggest star, Luann. Right. Obviously, it was about her.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with that. And I love the Bethany and Carol stuff, although we've talked ad nauseum about it. I think it was so compelling for the show.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. It really added. Again, like the good housewife drama. Because it's like real life, but it's elevated and it's on TV.
Right. No, it was. I mean, this season was perfect. And we still have the reunion, so we'll talk more like a season wrap up later. But this season was just so fantastic. It's season so good that switching to something like Orange County is tough.
True.
Because I loved the ropes course at the beginning of Orange County. I thought it was one of the best scenes of all time. Mm-hmm. And like Orange County, their trip to Andalus, fantastic.
Oh, so good.
But something about Orange County just feels off to me. And I don't know what it is, if it's me, because I'm.
Well, if it's you're comparing it to New York, right. Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, you can't.
But it feels a little stale to me, doesn't it?
I 100% agree. Yeah. I'm over it.
Well, and Adam, you're watching Orange County for the first time.
This is my first time. So I have to say all these characters are interesting to me.
Yeah.
However, because I know what Beverly Hills is like, I understand that eventually you need more than that.
Mm. Right, right, right. And the new girls just aren't doing it for me. Like, they're not bad.
Yeah.
Like, they're fine.
No.
I don't know. And maybe they'll step up and be great. I don't know.
But I just don't want younger women. Like, when Vicky was like, you're my daughter's age, it's weird.
But even the older women, like Tamara, I don't want to see the Eddie stuff. It's like, it's dark. And I also just don't know that I want to see. I don't ever like Eddie in general.
Oh, you don't?
I don't like Tamara or Eddie. I know that's controversial. I don't like either of them. And so seeing the Tamara Eddie stuff.
Of course. I have a question to season pros here about Vicky. Sure. Now, that's obviously a reality star, which is also a nightmare, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
But how do you feel about her? Because Ramona, to me, is probably my favorite housewife.
Me too.
This season, as an exception, she's someone I would hate in real life.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Vicky, same, except... As you go on, is she even fun to watch, or is she just that much of a nightmare?
She can be very fun to
watch.
Can be
like,
excuse me?
I'm not here for drama. If you want to do that, go find somebody
else. Wait, you're being disrespectful.
You're supposed to be my friend.
What?
No matter what, you don't talk that way to me or him ever. You're supposed to be my friend. My friend, my soulmate, my sister. Then act that way. That means you have respect for the man I love. I would never speak that way to Eddie. Fun.
She often like trips and falls. And
I would love that.
Like,
sure.
You know, it's great. But two, 3 seasons ago were some dark
the Candace Brooks stuff. Yeah, you should go back and watch. Yeah.
So, like, honestly, I need a break.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you know, but I was talking to a friend about this, and I don't think they'll ever get rid of Vicky because it's sort of like the house of cards will fall.
Sure.
Yeah.
And because she's the original that's left.
Right.
The
entire
I know that we had to move quickly and get the Shannon, Tamara, Vicky dynamic back, but it felt so fast, and it was like, to me, at least, I was reading it like they don't really like Vicky, but they know that they have to do this for the show.
Yeah, because it was like scorch earth 2 seasons ago. Like felt like.
I mean, even
Shannon
all of last
risen,
season, except
Vicky
for,
needed to go. Like that's what it felt
all
like.
All of last season, except for that last moment where they made up at the reunion.
Yeah,
they hated each other.
Yeah.
Look, it's not bad to me.
The show's not bad.
It's enjoyable, but something about it where every week I'm like, I don't know if I really want to watch this.
Yeah.
Which I've never been like that before.
With OC?
With any housewives. But it's like, this Beverly is one Hills. Where I'm like, well, Beverly Hills last season. But it's like, I'm like, oh, I don't know. But you know what I am excited to watch is Potomac. The reunion is so good. Did you watch the reunion?
Yeah. Yes.
I cried. Karen made me cry. Like, I legit, I don't know, that whole thing with her dad. And
yeah.
I don't know. Her and Giselle have a very special relationship, mm-hmm. I think.
Oh, it's like, it's
when
like
she walked off stage and cried, I cried.
I just beautiful. Love, I mean, yes, that's a very sad topic, but this is why Karen is just such a good reality star. She wore that dress, the train of her dress that was just all this tulle to get up and walk away. Just how dramatic, you know, and then she's got her tits like up to her neck. Like, oh, I loved it.
All of the fashions on Potomac were rough to me, though.
Yeah, Giselle's like, color combo was distracting to me.
Sometimes I think these women, it's like they put on the ball gowns and they think they have to go, they go a little overboard with the ball gowns, right?
Yeah.
These women are literally like, they're wearing like these princessy ball gowns, and sometimes they're great, but then other times I'm like, okay, you went overboard.
Yeah.
It was a great season. You know, we've been deep diving on Roni, so we haven't been able to touch too much on.
Which is the last.
And after Roni ends, just for all the listeners, we're going to probably deep dive more into Orange County and Dallas.
Did I just do Dallas?
We're going to do mostly Dallas. Like, we're going to deep dive. The way we were doing with Roni, I think we're going to do a Dallas.
But talk about when Bravo got...
talk about Shaz, too. I love Shaz, but that's neither here nor there.
You need a third week. A third show.
And Married to Medicine starts soon. I'm gonna, it's too much. I'm going to pass out. What were you saying?
The when Bravo God closes a door, he literally opens a window and gives us Dallas on the same... Yeah. He's like, don't be sad, New York's over. Here comes Dallas.
So nice. And Dallas was so great. So let's transition into Dallas. I was a little nervous because, again, I was saying Orange County was feeling a little stale to me, so I was thinking Dallas is going to start. Am I not going to be into it? Because I loved it so much, season two, and you guys did too, right?
Oh, yeah. Obsessed.
Yeah. Like, it was. I thought it was perfect TV last season, and I thought, are they going to live up to it? Miami famously gave me one of the my favorite Housewives seasons in season two,
loved it.
And then they came back in season three, and it was kind of a flop.
Yeah.
So I thought, is this going to happen with Dallas? Fortunately, I think the premiere was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about the season. They gave us a lot of stuff.
And Leanne knows what's up in terms of creating good TV.
Yeah.
She's the producer over there. She's the Bethany over
there. Everyone needs one.
Yeah. It's going to be fine in her hands.
Yeah. It opened with a shot of a dog in a tiny hat. And right away, I was like, it was just like a B-roll of a dog in a tiny hat. And I was like, I'm in.
We're back.
Exactly.
We learned that Brandy adopted a baby, which happened too easily. It was like Stephanie called her. It was happened so fast, like a whiplash.
You always hear these stories that people struggle for years on a list and whatever. Like, huh? How did that happen?
Brandy makes it look easy.
I know.
Effortless.
Matt and I always talk about, you know, having kids, and we always think like it's going to take years and years. And then I turn on this episode, and it's like 2 weeks. I had a baby. I don't know, but it was sweet to see her with the baby. It was cute. And she seems like a really good mom. And
I know they wanted a baby, and she had that terrible miscarriage last year that she talked about and stuff. So I'm happy for them.
And I love the relationship with her and Stephanie. Like, they're really good friends, and I like it. Even though sometimes they could be a little boring-ish, but I love their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to a scene that was one of the best scenes in Housewives history. It's Leanne doing yoga. She's doing yoga with DeAndra, and she's doing a lot of self-care. She has a yoga session with this yogi, and she keeps talking about her amygdala. And then she keeps saying she needs to work out her amygdala, and they keep flashing back to that scene in the doctor's office. Which that scene.
An iconic scene, to be sure.
Oh, my God.
A shot of a door ever been so titillating?
That whole scene was just fantastic. Oh, and they cut to it twice this episode. Like, they know it's like that's their money shot.
Yeah,
they
know. Let's put it in every episode, please.
He got his dick sucked at the Roundup.
I know the boys who did it.
The editing in this yoga scene was just so flawless of them cutting back to that scene. It was just fantastic.
Yeah.
There was also, DeAndra, I love her name too. Every time I read in my notes, it makes me laugh. DeAndra.
It really is so funny.
So her and her husband, they're having an anniversary party, and so they're meeting with the party planners, and I'm thinking, oh, they've been married forever, right? Like, I'm thinking, they've been together forever. And then it's revealed that it's their fourth anniversary, and I just said, wait a minute. Which I know we knew that, but I was like, wait a minute.
In terms of a celebration.
A big celebration party, and they're meeting with like wedding planners to do a fourth anniversary party. That seems like a kiss of death.
Yeah, it's just a hair off of a vow renewal.
Yeah.
DeAndra's a little boring to me, but I also like her.
Well, obviously I love the D. Like, you know, maybe she's one of those ladies that it's stronger because her mom is fantastic.
Obviously I love the D.
Right. I mean,
and I also love DeAndra's mom. D. A true.
The D dynamic was great in this episode, and I feel like we're going to get a lot of it. We're going to get a lot of it. And we just sort of scratched the surface of it. And I feel like they have... there's a lot more going on between the Deandra D stuff.
Yeah.
And we got, it was revealed that they're having a feud, but we don't know the details of it. We also caught up with Cameron, who she's still in all pink.
Oh my God.
She's still Cameron.
She's looking for a distributor for her dog food line. And I'm a fan of her dog food line.
Why?
You know, I've tried it.
I don't care. I don't have a dog, but I think it's a $1 million idea.
I have a dog. She does too. I don't need its poop to be bloody-ish looking.
Yeah, that's usually how you check for problems.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what. I want it to succeed because her husband, Court, he seems like too controlling to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't like that he doesn't want her to get a distributor because he wants more. He wants her in the house. Yeah. He keeps referencing, like, I want you more with the kids and everything. Yeah. And it's like, I hate when the men sort of control them. And it was revealed that she gave up getting her master's degree because Court wanted her to raise a family and didn't want her going to school. And it was like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I don't either.
She's
yeah.
the Cameron Diaz, you know, in My Best Friend's Wedding when Cameron Diaz gives up schooling for
yeah. Maroney. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what Cam did.
Maybe she's going to be like one of these other women from other series that we've
seen.
They break up because this is like her out in a way.
Right. I mean, I was happy that she stuck up to him at least and was like, I want to do this. So that was good.
But if she's now looking for a distributor, but it ended last season with her creating it, what was going on in between?
Because it was for sale on Amazon.
Yeah.
I mean, you can sell anything on Amazon, but still.
Maybe it's a new distributor.
Then we cut to Leanne and Rich, and Rich has an eye patch, which I told you on the show before, Whitney.
I know,
you were like, he doesn't have an eye patch. And I was like, I think he does. And so Leanne explained it. And by the way, I think he looks sexy.
Well,
like I'm very turned off by Rich's eye patch.
Well,
by the eye patch or him?
Well, both, really. I don't know if I was just in the mood when I was watching the episode. I was like, oh my God.
I'm
like,
in the mood.
Polly wanted a cracker. I don't know why I said that.
Cause pirate baby, that's a layered joke.
I don't know why I said that.
Leanne, friend of the show, hope you're listening. Danny likes your man.
Polly wanted a cracker. That's gross. I don't even know what that means. So then it's revealed that Leanne and Carrie are going to meet, and they do that famous housewife things where it's like they decide they're going to be like just okay with each other, right? Like they're not, they both sort of are at a standoff saying, oh, I'm not sure if I forgive you. I'm not sure if I forgive you, but we should be okay with each other.
Yes.
We're contractually
all. I know. It's just so.
We're going to have to go on vacation together. Yeah. So we're going to need to make that seem normal.
Right. I'm glad they sort of made up. And then Carrie always thinks she's so funny, which she did this last season.
God,
like every time she says a joke. And I wrote down like, oh, so gross. And then I thought, am I Carrie? Because I always laugh at my own jokes.
No.
I think I'm a Carrie, you guys.
Wait, so how does Carrie, but remember how bad Carrie and Leanne left it last season? Like,
right, how do they make up?
She called her husband gay with sources.
She said he got
sources,
his dick sucked.
You know, like,
got his dick
first
sucked.
Of all, maybe we should hear some tapes from these men. But, like, you know, like, they went
because
a little scorched earth. Like, this is weird.
I don't think Carrie knows that she's not super interesting on the show. Like, she's sort of bland, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think she knows, like, I have to make up with Leanne or else my job's on the line. Like, she's not like some of the other feuds where it's like they have a large fan base or something. I'm trying to think of a good example. But, like, when it was maybe Luann versus Dorinda, it's like they both have good fan bases, so I don't think either one of them are really concerned about going up against the other.
Right.
But it's not like Carrie's got a ton of people behind her. If Leanne's the only one with sort of a little, I think, a big enough fan base.
But at the same time, that's also like screen time to be fighting with the show's star.
True.
Right?
Yeah. Your card's right. Well, we'll see. We're just getting started.
Speaking of feuds, it's also revealed that Deandra and Brandy are having a feud, which I didn't remember from last season.
Yeah.
It was revealed that Deandra said that Brandy has sleepy eyes and an Adderall problem, which who among us doesn't?
Certainly. I wish I had more Adderall to have a problem.
How do you take Adderall and have sleepy eyes?
Now
that's
I think where the true insult lies. It's like you have an Adderall problem and you still have sleepy eyes, girl. Get it together.
Adam, you're saying so much truth today. I love it.
Then we see Deandra with Jeremy's family. They all came to town for this anniversary party, and they're talking a little bit about more her feud with Dee. Again, I want more of this feud with Dee.
I
need to hear more. It's revealed that Rich and Leanne, they've been engaged for a year and they have no wedding date. And Leanne even says in the episode, she says she's starting to get worried about it just because everyone else is getting worried about it. She's like, I thought Rich and I were fine, but everyone else keeps bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate when that happens with that. I mean, friends of mine.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
And Matt and I have been engaged forever. And it's like people say, and I think it's different because we're a gay couple. So people don't give us too much shit about it. But it's a weird thing. It's like you can be happy in a relationship and just not getting married. Oh, it's revealed too, speaking of weddings, that Dee's been engaged 14 times, which I would think is a record if I didn't know Danielle Staub.
True.
Wait, what's Danielle to now?
20.
Yeah, okay. 20.
Yeah. She's imagine got a lot even doing. Having got a lot going on. That many boyfriends in life, let alone in fiancés.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So Dee's there. She's a star. And she's the whole time at this anniversary party, she's saying, this is boring. And I loved it. And I just wrote in my notes, Mama Dee better be at the reunion and she better get a spinoff.
Oh, yes.
She's got amazing fashions. Maybe she could do like a fashion spinoff or something like a fashion police.
Yeah. Or I would see her skincare line that I've never seen in stores. I would love to see more about what's going on there.
Also shocking at this party. So they had name cards by everyone's place, and DeAndra spelled Leanne's name wrong, and they're supposedly best friends in each other's wedding. And you would think of all people, DeAndra would know how to spell people's names correctly.
Right.
Truly.
Yes.
She has apostrophe in the middle. It's not supposed to go there.
Honestly, it's one of the weirdest names I've ever heard or seen.
DeAndra.
DeAndra. Where does it come from? Have you ever heard of that before?
Certainly not.
No, but I had a barista that used to call me Danae. Like, you know, like on my Starbucks, he would write Danae. Like I would say my name's Danny and he would write D apostrophe. N-A-E.
It makes no sense, Danae. And I'm obsessed.
Yes, yeah. I love it. You need to now go and order Danae. It under Danae.
I
What's
agree.
Your name? Danae.
Danae. I'm Danae. Also, Cam sort of looks like Nicole Kidman.
She Danae. Does.
She's got that Nicole Kidman vibe, mm-hmm. and I like it. So they tried to do a surprise wedding for Leanne and Rich at this party. Like, DeAndra just stood up and was like, you two get married now. And it was shocking. So we end with a to be continued. So that wasn't, they're not getting married, but we end with a to be continued. And we see in scenes from next week that Brandy shows up at this party, even though she wasn't originally going to show up. So I'm excited for Brandy to get in that mix.
Do you think she'll announce her baby to them?
No. I mean, I told you what I learned is that the other women don't know for a while.
Oh, for a while.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I don't know if this is true, but I heard that she doesn't tell the other women for a while.
Oh.
And she said in the episode a throwaway line, like, I'm not ready to tell the girls yet. So Stephanie
I
know,
but
knows,
I guess I figured she was going to be
dramatic. How do you hide a baby?
Yeah.
Well, she got it so quick.
True, it's true.
So everything happened.
Anything could happen after that.
Anyway, that's Dallas. I'm so excited for the season.
So excited.
It looks good. We have to wrap this up. We went a long time. We talked for a while. We had a lot to get through. There's a lot of Bravo. We didn't even hit Shaz, which I love. Shaz always delivers, by the way. I feel like even when the episode's not great, it's good.
I still have only dabbled, but I love that ad where they're doing the Cha-Cha Slide song. It makes me laugh every time I see that commercial. So good job, Bravo.
Those people know how to make good TV. And like I said, there's always food porn in the episode. So it's like, even if it's boring, you're looking at good food.
You're hungry.
You're hungry. Yeah.
Icons. If you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Q-U-I-N-C-E.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/iconic.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, we got to wrap this up. Adam, where can people find you on social media?
Oh, at Adam Salandra, please.
Yes, and Whitney's not on social media.
Nope. Good for you.
I'm on social media. Please only send me nice things, though.
Yeah, I'm taking a mental health break from
it. Fragile. So. I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook. There's the Facebook group for Everything Iconic, and I'm Pellegrino Danny on Facebook. Also, please join us on Patreon and help support this podcast if you can. You also get access to all of the bonus episodes and the Real Housewives of New York recaps for $4 or more per month. That's patreon.com/everythingiconic. So we have ads running now. I hope you guys are enjoying the ads. I'm sorry if it's the same ones running over and over again. I want to say that to you. I love you. Also, please rate and review this podcast on iTunes if you like it. It really helps us out. Anything else, Whitney? Did I forget anything?
You're good.
Okay, I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Bye. I'm sorry I'm talking too fast. You guys, wait. Let's slow down for a minute, Whitney. Slow it down.
Okay.
Let's add a couple seconds to this podcast because I feel like I just rushed through that ending.
Just add white
just
noise.
Add a, some, well, I just want to talk a little slower.
Just let people know you're here for that.
I'm here for you guys. I love you. I want to thank you all for, you know, the DMs, the tweets. It's so sweet. I just want to slow it down for a minute. Wow. Take a moment today. We do this in my Barry's boot camp class. Mm. Take a minute to breathe. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in one more time. Now think of something, hold your breath, think of something you're grateful for, think of something you are proud of, think of something that you feel like you did today.
Breathe Every out. One of those answers was watching Housewives.
Yeah, well, you know what? We did it. You guys, we did it. We made it. I love you all. Take care.
Love you.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.